that you may be sincere without offense in the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. I'd like to look this morning for a few moments at the fifth verse of Philippians chapter 1. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. You can hopefully see the connection between Psalm is talking about being in fellowship, being together. In the place of the way that he says that we're together, he says in the gospel. You see, that is that which brings us together, is the gospel. Because even though our differences in here are not as diverse and as drastic as those of the first century church, I'm not asking for your tax returns, but I have a feeling that the difference economically is not as vast as that which masters and servants, and even though we do have differences of maybe some of our family history as far as where we came from, I don't know if you guys know, I think you do, I came from a missionary Baptist church, so if you probably have different backgrounds and different histories and different ethnic backgrounds, but I don't think ours is as diverse as what happened in the first century church where they would have people who worshiped Diana coming together with Jews. There was vast differences that were there. I don't think our differences are as great as what they had, but yet we do have differences. We have different preferences. We have different ideas. We have different thoughts that we have. But the place of the fellowship that we have is all the same as what they had. That fellowship is in the gospel. Years and years ago, when this church went through a building project, that can be a challenge. Because if you've got two different people, then you're going to have two different opinions about how things are supposed to be done. You're going to have two different ideas about how that happens. And in church, we're going to have many different ideas and thoughts. But the place where we can't have differences, the place where we can't have different ideas, is in the gospel. It's clear by what the Apostle Paul says in the book of Galatians that there's not room for differences there. He says, I marvel that you are so soon from that which I preached unto you unto another gospel. What he says, which is not another. It may have the name, but it's not another. It's clear from the scriptures that there is one truth. There is one gospel, and that is what brings us together. That is what draws us together. And for fellowship to continue, that has to be at the center of what draws us together. It has to continue to pull us together. Paul says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Notice, he says, from the first day until now. Now, that indicates a period of time, right? That indicates that it started and it's continued. But also, I believe it indicates that something is happening. Something is happening. They are facing something. And if you read the context of the church, this letter to the church of Philippi, you know that they're facing something. The first thing they're facing is they're dealing with Paul. And what are we going to do with Paul? What does this mean? Because Paul is in prison. He's been imprisoned by the Roman authorities. And what does that mean in regards to us? Paul deals with that. He says in the 12th verse, by what you should understand, brethren, the things which happened unto me have fallen out, rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. It's very interesting when we look at history. Study the history of the church, you'll find that when the church undergoes trials and persecutions is the time when the church is strongest. That's the period of time when the church is doing best is when it goes through persecution. Then he goes on and he tells them, not only am I in prison, he says, but also in verse 29, he says, for unto you it is given on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. You see, what the Apostle Paul says from the first day until now, the understanding of what it means when it says there is one hope of your call. There's one hope of your call. And when you draw close to Christ, then you begin to realize that a lot of the other stuff didn't help. The book of Philippians chapter 3, and again, one of those favorite verses, right? The Apostle Paul says in verse 10 of Philippians chapter 3, that I may know him. You see, if we're going to have fellowship together, we first have to have fellowship with Christ. Because that's where our fellowship is. You know, if you study history, if you look at the different things that have happened in the Lord's church, you'll find that divisions are usually named after people. Divisions are named after people. I can remember very clearly when I was first starting to travel, and I know I shared this with you, Brother Ronald told me to be careful of what kind of questions you answer. And I thought Brother Ronald was just being foolish, and I certainly that wouldn't come about. I came to the Little Union when Little Union was already meeting four Sundays a month. Little Union was already, you know, an independent body. And so a lot of the struggles that many of you saw, I didn't see. But sure enough, it wasn't very long before I was traveling. I was going down to Gethsemane. I won't give any names, but, you know, Gethsemane was trying to meet more often. And it went from meeting one Sunday a month to meeting three Sundays a month. And they had called me to be their pastor. I didn't feel like at that time that I was ready for that or that was what I needed to do. But after I told them no, the man came up and he says, well, you know, don't you think that if they would just meet just one Sunday a month, it would make it easier for you to be their pastor? Because then you wouldn't have to travel as much. And, you know, that would just simplify a lot. You see, he was a member of another church, and he was some of those that didn't really want them to be meeting more often. He wanted to keep them where they were at. You see, when we had those divisions and we had those conflicts, they're all about people. Conflicts are all about people. But when we have unity, it's all about Christ. You see, when we're drawn together and that is our focus, that is when there can be unity. He says, I may know him. And how do you know him? How do you get to know him? Paul says in verse 7, but what things remain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And I'm not going to read it. You can read it. Paul knows how good he was. Paul talks about how good his history was and how that he met all the criteria. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. He says, all those things that I used to think were important, he says, I count them but loss. Because to know Christ, you have to know who you are. To know Christ, you have to know that all those things that you thought made you special and important in the eyes of Christ, it's because he loved you that made you important. It's not because of your family history. It's not because of your understanding. It's because of who he is. He says, all these things I count loss for the excellent eyes of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. You see, that has to be the most important thing. That has to be the most important part, is to draw close to Christ. And all the things which keep us from doing that have to be put aside. And as long as we are trusting in ourselves, as long as we are trusting in ourselves and then having confidence in ourselves, says in verse, let's begin in verse 4 of John 15. He says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me he can do nothing." I don't know if you counted, but I counted about 3 times when the Lord said, "It's not you, it's me. It's not you, it's me. It's not you, it's me." If you're going to bear fruit, it's not going to be you, it's going to be in me. You have to trust in me. You have to draw your strength from me. That is where we bear fruit. He says, "For without me, ye can do nothing." We have to draw all that strength. We have to draw all that from Christ. We have to draw close to Christ for him to be abiding in us. It says in verse 9 of Philippians chapter 3, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness." He says in verse 21, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, he says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps." He gives an example as to how we're to suffer. He says, "For even hereunto were ye called," he says, "who did no sin." The first thing is that when we suffer, it shouldn't be for wrongdoing. And if we do, he talks about it in other places, then there's no big. He says, "Neither was God all fire in his mouth." He didn't attack back. He didn't retaliate. He says, "And when he was reviled by him, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." He put it in Christ's hands. He gave it over to Christ. He says, that law and that righteousness, he says, that goes this church must do is they must put Christ at the center. In whatever scorecard you have, you must throw away. Because all those things are going to do is going to pull you away, not just from each other, but more importantly, they are going to pull you away from the reason that you were here in the first place. One of the saddest texts of Scripture is in the book of Revelation. And many of the religious world look to this as an offer of salvation, but it says that the Lord is standing at the door. He is standing at the door. Now, I know that you know, but that's not the door of the sinner's door. That's a sad picture, too. But the door that he's knocking on is the door of the church. He's knocking on the door of the church, and he's not on the inside. He's on the outside. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open up, I will come in and sup with him." Our fellowship is in Christ, and where was Christ at? He was on the outside. The person who was supposed to be the central figure of the church was on the outside of the church. You cannot have fellowship. That is what holds us together. That is what draws us together. If you go back and look in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul is describing the trouble that's in this church. And he says in verse 20 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "When you come together, therefore, in the one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper." What does Paul mean when he says that? When you come together in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. What he's saying is, even though you may have a form, even though you might have an appearance, you're not doing it. I spent a great majority of my childhood at Brother Garland's house. Not because Brother Garland and I were such good friends, but I love that pool. It's a great place to be. Where I learned to swim and spend a lot of time with my cousins. But sometimes we might, act like we're baptizing people. And even though we have two people and the person got all wet, we didn't baptize anybody. We had the appearance, we had the form, everything looked right, everybody was, everything happened, but it was not a baptism. And what the Apostle Paul was saying is, even if we come together and we've got the bread and we've got the wine and we've got the form and we say the right words and we act the right way and we talk the right talk, it's not communion. It's not communion. And ultimately, when he comes down to the very end, the reason he says that it is not communion, he goes on and he says in verse 29 of this same chapter, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." You see, that's the central story. That's the reason why you come together, is to discern the Lord's body, is to think about the Lord. He says, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. He says, you do this to show forth the Lord's death till he comes. You see, if we come together for any other reason than to worship Christ, then it's not church. It's not fellowship. We can play church, but it's not church. Because Christ is what makes it church. That being what draws us together is what makes it church. I've heard people to the place. To me, I love, and I know it's not good for 26 in this year, I don't know where you're at, that you find it. But a lot of time moves how tedious it takes for the hours. Because it talks about when Christ is there, prisons, the palace is there. It's about Christ being there that makes it worth being. Says in the gospel from the first day until now. That means that we're facing trials. This church is going through some trials. It's going through some challenges. But that doesn't mean that the fellowship has to stop. That doesn't mean that the gospel no longer has to be preached. That is what is going to draw together to do that. But I have to be willing to let go of things. You're going to have to be willing. Paul, why did he have to let go? Paul had to let go of his pride for one. He was proud of that history. And he had to say, well, now it's just done. Now it's just done. I come and I don't know anything. And that's on purpose. I like to be oblivious to that. Say that you cannot have two bodies in one building because God didn't send you in two different ways. He says, there is one body. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called and what we call you. Remember Paul, right, in the church of Corinth, and he says, well, some says I'm Paul, and some said I'm Apollos, and some said I'm Cephas, and some said I'm they all had these different people. You know, that those were all people. They all had these different people. And he says, I wasn't crucified for you. That's not the way it happened. There is one hope of your call. One hope of your call. And it's the same.